Validas Tour and Library Qualification Podcast with your host, Oskar Slotosz.
Hello, my name is Oskar Slotosz and I'm your expert in tool and library qualification.
And my name is Federica Mura and I'm your friendly representative of the audience.
In this podcast, we support you in building a safe infrastructure for your software development. It's about safety of tools and libraries that you can achieve by qualification.
Yeah, and today's topic is about function-based library qualification of C and C++ libraries mainly.
Ah, okay, interesting. So let's start from the basics. What does it mean, function-based library qualification?
Yeah, so most of the libraries have a name like the standard library or like OpenCV, OpenCL. Those are the names of the libraries. And when you look into the architecture, they are grouped in modules that have header files. And they are grouped in functions. Every header file, every module has a list of functions. And when you are using a library, you mostly use only parts of it. So you might be using 10 functions or 5 functions or things like that. And the others you don't use and you don't need to qualify there. You know that I always like to say I'm an expert in tool qualification and avoidance of tool qualification. And of course, also in library qualification, but not avoidance of library qualification because you cannot avoid. So tool qualification, you always can use the tools carefully. And library qualification, the only thing you can do is to qualify it only partially. And that's what today's topic is about. You can qualify only the functions you need and everything else is not necessary. And this is based on function and the whole process is based on function. So if a customer comes to us and say, can you qualify the math library? Then we just ask, yes, of course we can. Which functions do you need, do you want? And then he says sine, cosine, square root, whatever. And then we will qualify those. So that's the idea behind the function base. So also the process is function biased. We will invoice based on functions. We will test based on functions. So everything is based on the functions.
And what about this case? Let's say the customer comes to you and says, Oscar, I want to qualify this list of functions, but then a function of this list calls another function that is not listed in the list. So how it works in this case?
Yeah, that's a very good and important point. Everything that goes into the product needs to be qualified. And then a good example is maybe the add function that returns you a given element of a vector at a given position. So you can say vector and then add 3, and then it gives you the third element, if it has it. So add function is implemented using the size function. So first, if you ask for the third element, and if the vector has only 2 elements, size 2, then the vector will throw an exception and say, I cannot give you the third element, I don't have it. So index out of bounds, something like that. And therefore, the add function requires the size function. So you might, if you want to qualify the add function, you need to qualify the size function too. So we call this a required standard function because size function is also something which is described in the C standard. And we then say to him, if you want to qualify the add function, you have to qualify the size function too. Yeah, that's a good case where we have standard functions require each other. But there are also so-called helper functions, which are typically starting with underscore, underscore, and then some internal whatever helper here and there. So how those are implemented. And those need also to be qualified. And that's especially hard to qualify them because they typically do not have a specification. So you cannot just say, create a qualification kit for the underscore, underscore helper function. Because usually there are no requirements for it, except if their customer writes, the owner of the library writes down something special, then there are no good requirements for it. And what we do then, if we don't have those kind of, for those helper functions requirements, we just qualify the main function, but we achieve the coverage for all the main function, of course, and the required helper function. So if we have with the requirements for the main function, if this is enough to cover also the helper functions completely, then this is sound, and we still work requirements based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was wondering also, this episode is dedicated to function-based library qualifications. And can we maybe give a short overview about what other kind of library qualification also exist?
Yeah, of course, we could have a module-based qualification that we say we qualify the string module of the standard function, or the math module, or math part, or so modules or header-wise qualification. Or we could even have the complete qualification. So if someone asks us, do you have the can I have a complete qualification of the standard library, which is defined in the C standard? Well, then we just go we could go through everything and qualify everything, but that's a lot of work because library qualification is a high effort to collect all the requirements and to understand their relations, which requirement refines, replaces which other requirement, and which are the final ones. So, for example, there are the standard requirements written in the C or C++ standards, but then there is implementation defined behavior or undefined behavior under specification. So there are a lot of things to consider. So what is happening, what should happen if you access or if you do the square root of a negative number? Or if you access the last element of an empty vector. So this is something undefined or needs to be then implementation defined and or re-engineered from the test cases and say, okay, we found out this kind of implementation specific behavior. So it isn't surprising that accessing the last element of an empty vector, everything can happen. But if you get a core dump, you may not be so happy. And that's something we find out, and we can then specify implementation defined behavior of this library is you'll get a core dump.
Okay. And I wanted to ask you, why do you think it's an advantage to use a function-based library qualification to find or catch the implementation defined behavior compared, for example, with the module-based library qualification? I mean, I would expect both of them to work.
Yes, of course, but you need to do it for the whole module and not only for the function that you really need. So if the module is big, we had a case where a customer wanted just to qualify one function of the math library, exponential function, very important function for him, and he just wanted to qualify this. A lot of properties, a lot of requests, a timing behavior, a memory usage, everything should be qualified, but only for one function. So if we would have offered him the qualification of the math library, he wouldn't have chosen us. And there's another thing which makes it very difficult to qualify, let's say, module-wise, because if you have a module like the math function that might be using some other modules, let's say the memory module or the string module, or math maybe not the string module, but there are modules that see standard functions and implementations that use functions from other modules. So let's say you want to qualify the module for vector completely, and then you realize that those 150 functions use maybe 30% of the memory, or maybe only 20% of the memory header of the memory module. Yeah, well, then you only need 20% of the memory module, but you need to qualify it completely. And then you'll detect that there are other modules, maybe some typecast, whatever module that is used from the memory. And by having these partial requirements, you will end up in qualifying, well, probably almost everything of the library, because those things are somehow connected. And you cannot just qualify the vector library without qualifying the header functions. So you have to go down to the function level more or less anyhow. So that's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the take-home message in this case would be, in case we need to qualify just a subset of functions, let's qualify just that specific subset of functions, that we can dig more in the details of the functions and maybe try to reach a better quality.
Yeah, so that is indeed exactly. We can then put more efforts to the functions that really are needed, and don't waste time and efforts for other functions. Yeah, let me say something which I think is very intuitive here, to look into ISO 262, because ISO 262 has a very nice definition of software unit. So to understand the background, so in ISO 262 you have to do a software architecture, saying you have your vision system that detects something, and then you break it down and describe the different modules of the software, and you end something like a tree. You say I have this module and this module, and then I have submodules, and this is somehow the software architecture, is breaking down the different software modules, maybe also an operating system and some middleware like Autosar. So that's all part of the software architecture. And the software unit, these are in this software architecture tree, those are the leaves. So the atomic parts. And ISO 262 says, okay, software unit is an atomic level software component. So in this architecture of the software architecture, and then it comes that can be subjected to standalone testing. So if you are able to test your module as a standalone thing and measure code coverage and achieve 100% code coverage in your module, when you design your software, that can be a software unit. And but if you are using a library, you are only partially using it. Yeah, well, if you are not able to measure code coverage on a per function base, then you have to qualify the whole module, which is then requiring other modules and so on. But if you are able to qualify, so this is like a skill and an achievement, you can qualify functions on a function level, then you can do a more fine-grained architecture, and you need to qualify less than you would need to qualify if you do it on the module or header level. And of course, it's not easy to achieve this capability qualify a single function. Just consider the case when it comes to code coverage. So typically, you run a code coverage tool, you instrument your module, you compile your module, you instrument your module, and then you get your code coverage report after testing. And then you get a report which at the end says you have achieved 40% code coverage. Yeah, but and some functions are not covered at all, and some functions are completely covered. And if you want to qualify a function, you have to ensure that this function is covered completely. And of course, also the helper functions that are called from this. So we call this the coverage goals, and we check our code coverage reports automatically, of course, if those coverage goals have been achieved or not. And this enables us to qualify on the function level and offer this kind of a service to qualify single functions out of modules. Yeah, but it's interesting that the ISO 262 has this kind of definition, which makes completely sense. And on the other way around, so if we can say, okay, we can offer you a qualified version of Autosar, so then you can say, okay, Autosar we treat as a software unit, and we just take the qualified version of it, and then we don't need to care about the single modules and other things. So the more you can qualify together, the easier gets the architecture. And of course, on this side, if you qualify on a function-based level, you have to have a good function management. And this starts by identifying which functions you are really using, and which functions you want to qualify, and also supervising afterwards. So if you change your software, that you don't use new functions that you haven't qualified. So this is somehow a function management that needs to be established. But you need to do the same thing for headers and modules too. So it's just far easier to just grep for the includes in your source code than to build these the call tree and identify which functions you're really using in the call tree. But yeah, can be very simple to build a call tree. You just enable a compiler option, and then it will give you out the call tree, and then you can just use this to process this to get the list of real required functions out of it. So that's a pretty cool features of some compilers, and there we can get very easy to this really list of functions and make offerings for qualification.
Mm-hmm. And so would you recommend to use a function-based library qualification also for a library provider who wants to qualify his own library?
Yeah, well, library provider is an interesting thing, because we do qualification for unchanged software components, which are typically open source, so there is no real provider there. If we would have a library provider, we need to argue that the risk is shared somehow, because if they are developing a library from scratch, then we cannot apply the simplifications for library qualification we have been talking in the other episodes. And yeah, that's something we still, yeah. But answering your question, yes, I would recommend to do the library qualification on a function-based level.
In your opinion, what are the main challenges of function-based library qualification?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I think it really starts with the requirements. So with C and C++, we are somehow lucky that we do have some ISO documents that standardize those languages. So other languages are not so lucky, still working on specifications. So if you look to Rust, for example, there's not so standardized specification available. Nevertheless, these specifications are huge. So let's say more than 1,000 pages for C++, and they are complex, and they do include what I said, undefined behavior, implementation specified behavior. So those are things. Sometimes it breaks down to math IEEE documents. So you have a lot of documents that specify different aspects. And that's somehow also was the main idea for creating the language C, to be able to give some freedom for different hardware platforms and architectures to do some hardware-specific optimizations and still have the same language. And that's where we have the reason for all this undefined and implementation defined behavior. So some architectures evaluate faster from left to right, and some faster from right to left, and that's why C doesn't fix the order in which arguments or functions are evaluated, which can be problematic. Yeah, so I think we can wrap it up, and The summary is for the library qualification is ISO 262 says that the software units should be those that you are able to qualify standalone, and that Validas is able to do this on a function level, which is challenging, as we have seen. And but this gives you the freedom and the possibility only to pay for those functions you really need. And this gives us the possibility to do a really high quality library qualification, taking into account all relevant requirements that can impact the functions. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening, and hope to talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. And if you have suggestions or questions for us, you can contact us at podcast@validas.de. Bye.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening, and don't worry about qualification. Be happy with Validas.